Welcome to the Colts Daily Update on Colts.com.
Welcome inside the Tuesday Colts Daily Update. I'm Matt Taylor, and the daily updates can be found on Colts.com, the Colts app, and on iTunes and TuneIn. We're still talking today about Frank Reich, the new head coach of the Colts. He'll be introduced today to the media at 3:30 at Lucas Oil Stadium, and we'll stream the entire press conference live right here on Colts.com, so you can check that out later on today. And on the podcast this morning, I'm joined in studio by former Colts quarterback and Colts radio analyst Jim Sorgi, who was coached by Frank Reich when he was here in Indianapolis. How you been, man?
I'm fantastic. Right? It's good to see you, Maddie.
Absolutely. I feel like we haven't done a pregame show in about 6 years.
We haven't done anything in forever, it feels like. But it feels like the season has not been complete because of the coaching search, right? I mean, and finally we get to put that to bed.
Yeah, so Frank Reich was your quarterback coach near the end of your Colts tenure, right? What was he like for you in that capacity when you were here?
Yeah, Frank was absolutely fantastic. I remember having a couple years with him. A couple years was kind of like a camp thing. He was an intern 2006, 2007, then became like an offensive assistant coach in 2008, and finally in the room with us as a quarterback coach in 2009 when Coach Caldwell took over, and it was fantastic. There's something about having a former quarterback that played the game in the quarterback room with you. It just brings that wealth of knowledge that he has from the past and when he played and the stories he has from college at Maryland to, you know, his comeback win in the playoffs when he was with Buffalo. It was just fantastic. What I liked most is that it wasn't the hierarchy of coach player. It was almost like you could go up to him and talk to him, and he would come to you and talk to you about, what do you think about this? Do you like this? Do you not like this? Do you think Peyton would like this at the time, obviously? And we spent so much time in like game plan meeting rooms on Fridays and had a really good relationship with each other, and it was a good room. I mean, you know, Tom Moore was the offensive coordinator. Coach Reich was a quarterback coach. Peyton, me, Curtis was in the room, and then Coach Caldwell would come in. Clyde Christensen. It was a wealth of knowledge as an offense, and we put it together, and Peyton excelled on the field.
Yeah, I read the quote that Manning had, called him a grinder, kind of a football guy. He could call him at all hours of the day. They would text back and forth. And Manning really appreciated that out of Frank Reich, in that he was always thinking about football.
Yeah, tireless worker, just from dusk till dawn, right? I mean, or dawn to dusk, however you want to call it. He worked all hours of the day. He was prepared in the meeting rooms. But like I said, there's nothing that can take away a guy that played the game. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be a guy that yells at you. Be a guy that wants to get the best out of you, and he's done such a fantastic job since he's left the Colts with the quarterbacks he's been able to work with, and Phillip Rivers in San Diego, what he's been able to do to develop Carson Wentz from possible MVP candidate last season to when he goes down to Nick Foles coming in. But what was really impressive to me is how Nick Foles didn't play a great couple games toward the end of the season.
No.
And then you read an article about how they go back. The coaches went back and looked at what he did in 2013 when he had a phenomenal year and went to the Pro Bowl, and they implemented some of that stuff for the playoffs.
That's why the Eagles were underdogs at home.
Right.
In the divisional round.
100%. The way he was playing, they were winning games, but they were winning them with
the defense,
despite of the quarterback.
Sure.
But then the quarterback was the reason they won games in the playoffs, and it's because they implemented stuff he was good at and was comfortable with. That's what you want from a coach, a guy to be able to put players into position to make plays and win football games. I think he was the right guy for this job, and I think the organization, the fan base, and the players should breathe a sigh of relief that he's coming to be the head coach.
Jim Sorgi's with us. Now, you talk about Tony Dungy. I've heard a lot of people have made that comparison. You talk about his demeanor, kind of a quiet guy. Not a quiet guy, but a calm guy.
Calm.
Deliberate. And what other ways is he like Tony Dungy?
Calm, cool, and collective, very much so. Like I say, he's not going to be a screamer and a yeller, let you know what's expected of you. But he also can get his point across without yelling at you.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like that look.
You're not giving enough. You're not producing like I think you should. You need to work harder. He'll relay that to you without, you know, just sitting there and getting on you and riding you. And I think that's what's great about a coach, because you're not dealing with high schoolers or college athletes or even younger than that, where sometimes you got to yell at them to get them going. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with men who've played this game for a very long time, who know what's expected of them. Sometimes they lose focus at times, but they just need to be put back on the right path, and I think he'll be able to do that.
Do you think the Colts offense will resemble what you guys ran yourself with Peyton Manning? Do you think now the offense will look more like that?
I sure hope so.
Yeah?
I would love that. I don't think a no-huddle type of offense is the way to go. I think a little bit of both. But he's learned so much from his since he's moved on from Indianapolis, working with other coaches, Wisenhunt, McCoy, Peterson. The offense he'll bring will be kind of a mesh of the offenses. But I hope he uses some of the no-huddle, brings his own kind of flavor to it, like an innovative, creative way, and I think he'll be able to do that.
Jim Sorgi with us. You talk about all the guys that he's been around, some of the game's best, Manning, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Larry Fitzgerald, Phillip Rivers. What it is about Frank Reich's ability that he kind of gets the best out of everybody when he's there at that given time? What's his strength as far as developing players on offense?
Well, he's going to have the respect of the players because he played the game, because he was put in those situations, and he excelled in those situations when he was put in the game. I mean, you look back at that comeback win in the playoffs, I mean, down 38-3, he wasn't playing well, and then everything kind of switched and everything went away and he got that win. He's going to have the respect of the players because he's what he's been through as a player, as a coach. He's paid his dues as a position coach and then a coordinator. He's won Super Bowls. This guy's a Super Bowl magnet, man.
Yeah.
I mean, from his time playing days
right.
to when he was with the Colts, to when winning one with the Philadelphia Eagles. It seems like Super Bowls follow this guy wherever he goes, and I sure hope it's the same thing when he comes to Indianapolis.
Is that a major benefit for the Colts that he was a quarterback, he did play the game? You know, the quarterbacks have to be the leaders on the team, on the field. Does that help him big time when it comes to the respect of the locker room, that guys know that he knows what he's talking about because he has been a quarterback?
Yeah, I don't think you need to have played in a league to be a great head coach or to command respect from a team or the locker room. When you're first coming in, it helps.
Yeah.
I really do. And then after that, the proof's kind of in the pudding with what you do from then on. But the fact that he played 14 years in the NFL, he backed up Jim Kelly, he got significant time and succeeded in that time, I think gives him a leg up and in the eye of the players, a respect coming in that some coaches have to earn along the way.
Sure. Jim Sorgi's with us. Defensively now, the Colts have signed Matt Eberflus. All indications say the Colts are going to go to a 4-3 from a 3-4 defense. A, do you like that move? And B, do you think the Colts have some transitional pieces on the team right now in order to make that move a successful one?
I do. I think some of the pieces are already here, especially on the defensive line, as far as what you're going to do as nose tackle and three technique. The move from a 3-4 to a 4-3, as a quarterback, I liked facing 4-3s when I was playing because they were easier to identify for me rather than the 3-4. And I feel like going back to a 4-3 kind of makes things simplified for these players. You know where you're going to line up. If it's a 4-3 cover 2 scheme, it's a scheme that allows players to learn it and kind of fly around and make plays, but is not so taxing that communication is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So I do like the move back to a 4-3. I do think we have some pieces that'll kind of convert back to the 4-3 from the 3-4. And then whatever we don't have in the eyes of the coaches and the scouts and general manager Chris Ballard, we'll get in the draft and free agency.
Yeah, the biggest difference, though, I mean, you can tell me, I played in a 4-3. I think the biggest difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3, you have to have some really athletic middle linebackers, and then obviously your defensive ends. You go from outside linebackers
right.
to defensive ends, guys that have their hand in the ground, and they're primarily there to set the edge, but you know, we all know, get after the quarterback like they had here with Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney.
100%. I mean, if you look at the 4-3, you got your four down linemen, your three linebackers. The 3-4 is essentially the same thing, except really
some hybrid guys.
Your hybrid guys, your guy, your will linebacker, so to speak, to the weak side of the formation is normally your rush guy.
Yeah.
The guy to the strong side of the formation is normally your Sam linebacker. He's normally the guy that's setting the edge, stopping the run. I think a 4-3 is something that will be very capable in running. Plus, we'll have such a young team in 2018, from the turnover we had last year to the possible turnover in personnel we could have this year, that it's a scheme that I think these guys will be able to learn quickly and just fly around and make plays.
Jim Sorgi's with us. Yeah, I mean, going back to what Ballard said, I mean, you're going to be playing 8 to 10, hopefully more games
right.
in the playoffs at home. inside on field turf.
On turf,
like you
you're going to be fast.
Hey, if a dumb guy like me can get a 4-3, that means it is a simpler defense across the board.
I love the going against a 4-3 as a quarterback. You know your four down linemen. You point out your mic. You know who your back had in protection if he was going to scan across the field. That was
mostly
even
cover
better.
Two.
Mostly cover two. Yeah. You'll get some single safety, maybe cover three, cover six. But, you know, I'm guessing we'll have a few wrinkles in there, maybe a strong safety blitz, things like that. Will free safety blitz, maybe some corner blitzes off the edge. But the guys we have in the secondary and the guys we have up front, I think they'll have no problem converting. We need to find those sideline-to-sideline linebackers that can just fly around and make plays and aren't just tackling machines.
Yeah, and the 4-3, they're the stars of the show.
100%.
I mean, they're the stars of the show in a 3-4-2, but those guys are really relied upon to make plays both in the running game, and they have to be able to cover too. All right, Sorge, I know it really doesn't matter now, but what did you think of the McDaniel stuff? Were you mad, happy, sad? Did it tick you off? I mean, take me back to last Tuesday.
Yeah, I was ticked off. I really was. I thought the McDaniels, if he came here, could have been a good head coach as well, especially from what he knows from an offensive standpoint, how he could have been innovative and creative. I think it's a blessing in disguise. I really do. I think there's some divine intervention there why he didn't come here, and we ended up getting Frank Reich as a head coach.
It's certainly better in the court of public opinion in Indy. Obviously, he doesn't have the Patriots tie and the Denver stigma following him, but I agree with you. I think he would have been a good head coach.
And you see all the praise that Frank Reich has gotten since he got the job.
Right.
He's a Colts guy. It's where he started his coaching career. So I think it's a good thing for this organization, these players, and this fan base that he got that job. Right man for the job. He's going to be the type of coach we all want. He's going to be open and honest, and he wants to be an Indianapolis Colt. Listen, I agree with general manager Chris Ballard in the fact, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. I don't care what the excuse is. Yeah. I don't care what the reason is.
I love the fact that he said, I don't want to hear an explanation. Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter to me. Yeah. It's yes or no. Give me your answer. And I love that.
Yeah,
And I guarantee when – you know, they brought Coach Reich in to interview. He wanted to be here. Yeah. And I think that's why you saw things move so quickly from the interview on Friday to the hire on Sunday.
And that parting line, rivalry's back on.
I love it.
You live the rivalry.
When was it ever off?
Well, did that give you chills a little bit?
It did. It gave me chills a little bit. I mean, I want those games back in the AFC Championship where the Colts are playing the Patriots.
Yep.
And it's time for the next 15 to 20 years that the Colts end up winning more of those games than losing them.
All right, final thing with Jim Sorge, of course, you know, I mean, coming off a 4-12 season, three straight years without the playoffs here in Indianapolis, a very important offseason, $85 million to spend in free agency, number three overall pick in the draft. Where do you think the Colts will make moves in free agency? What spots on this team would you prioritize? Offensive line, linebacker help, receivers? Break it down for me.
I haven't really got into who's available. If I were to make some moves, I'd possibly receiver. I'd possibly look at a receiver, offensive line, linebacker. But this is all depending on who's available now.
I mean, Dante Moncrief, Kamar Aiken, those are two guys that are kind of question marks right now.
Right, and you're kind of turning over a new leaf, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you want players that are going to be here. You want, you know, players that are going to be team guys first.
Yep.
And I think that's we got a bunch of them here. We need to bring some more in. It's going to happen. There's going to have to be some strategic moves made this offseason with free agency. I think you do a lot of building through the draft. Free agency, you know, I was always told free agency is you got to be smart, strategic, and it's probably a guy that fits a certain need. It's not probably might not last very long. That's what I've always been told in free agency. So wherever those positions that, you know, Coach Reich and Chris Ballard and the scouting department feel like they need to go after, they will. But I think really important we hit on the draft with some young guys that are going to grow in here, grow at this organization, get Andrew healthy. I truly believe if we make the right moves, obviously you're not going to know right off the bat if they're the right moves, but this team can go back to prominent in the AFC South and getting back to those playoffs and being a contender.
Yeah, I mean, what I've always heard is you're a free agent for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the GMs and the personnel people that sign free agents, they have to be they have to be smart about that too, because there's a reason why this guy is on the open market.
Right.
It's either too expensive, another team didn't want him, or he has some sort of baggage that has allowed him
didn't fit
to
in the locker room and things like that. You're exactly right, Matt. So those decisions are made by people that make a lot more money than me to make those decisions.
They study it.
They study it. They go in the ins and outs of it. But I do think we need to hit on them. Whoever we decide to pick up in free agency, we need to hit on. They need to be able to contribute in the drafts. You need to hit on those, you know, first two, three rounds picks that contribute right away. And we need to get Andrew back healthy and develop our young guys that we brought in last year that played significant minutes and played well. And I think we'll be able to do that. And sky's the limit for this team. But you can hear the excitement in my voice with who we got leading this organization right now. We've got a great owner in Jim Irsay. We got a general manager that I believe is great in Chris Ballard that has done great things already, and I think the great things are yet to come. And then Frank Reich, who's getting his first head coaching job with the Indianapolis Colts, that I think can lead this team to great heights.
You still playing HQ?
I am still playing HQ.
I
have not won yet, obviously, but I'm still playing HQ.
I got to question 9 the other day.
Did you?
It's the furthest I've been in a while.
7, as high as I've gotten, 7. But I always watch to the end, and I'm always disappointed because you'll see like 30 people win, and they'll win like $8 a piece, and I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to win that. I want to be
the
lone winner.
It's more of a pride thing than it is for the money because, I mean, yeah, we can do with $8, buy 8 sticks of gum.
I thought about getting like 20 people in a room and just
I was at a family get-together the other day. There was like 17 of us. And we all had our phones on. It was like, okay, you got C, I'll do B.
Doing
down
that
line. And we still lost.
Oh,
we still lost on like question 6.
I have everybody in the room. I'm on my phone. Everybody's playing my game. And somebody will give me the wrong answer. And I'll get mad.
Oh, you give them the stink.
I'll get real mad. I'll be like,
stink.
You're out. Next HQ, you're not invited.
All right. Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right,
you too.
As you embark on your HQ championship.
If you win, we'll go on a little bit of a dinner or
something.
There you go. Yeah,
we'll do dollar menu.
100%.
On me.
I love it.
All right, buddy. Good to see you.
You too.
All right, Jim Sorgi right there. I'm Matt Taylor. And again, we'll have the entire Frank Reich press conference on Colts.com later on today. That is set to begin at 3:30. That's it for today on a Tuesday on the podcast. We'll do it again tomorrow, Wednesday, right here on the Colts Daily Update.